There's a guy in Houston. His name is Jim Mackingvale, and we have a guy here in Anchorage, and I think it's called the Mattress Ranch. And he's kind of a tall, gangly guy, and he gets up and does those goofy ads. You know, he's dancing and everything. Well, Jim Mackingvale is the Houston equivalent of our guy, the mattress guy. In fact, he's even known, they call him Mac, of course, and he's known as Mattress Mac. Mattress Mac has a showroom. He has a 160,000 square foot showroom. To put that in perspective, that is just a little bit smaller than the dome. The dome that we don't have anymore. But I mean, it is big. It is really, really big. I guess we're going to get the dome back. The flood came, and Mattress Mac's 160,000 square foot showroom was high. It was dry. And he opened his doors to all of the people whose homes were flooded. And he took them in. Not only that, he's feeding them three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You see, Mattress Mac took a stand. He was asked by one of the TV stations, well, how can you afford this? What is it costing you? They found out that he is spending about $40,000 a day. And his reply was, we can afford it. What we cannot afford is to have these people lose hope. Right. We cannot have these people lose hope. Well, the title of my talk today is The Stand, Part 2. Last week, we learned what I call the life principle. The more you lose yourself in a cause for good that is bigger than yourself, the more you will gain yourself. Join me in repeating that. The more you lose yourself in a cause bigger than yourself, the more you will gain yourself. That's a paradox. I mean, how can it be? The more you lose, the more you gain. What does that really mean? Well, the things we gain aren't necessarily material things. We gain capacity. We gain expanded vision. We gain freedom. We gain capacity. Capacity for change. Capacity for growth. We gain an expanded vision. We no longer have this limited tunnel vision of possibilities, what might be. Our vision is expanded to the infinite realm of possibilities, things that we didn't even consider in the beginning. And freedom. Freedom from the minutia. Freedom from thinking that we have to do all of everything all the time. We become aware that we are co-creators with that divine creative power of the universe, the thing that made all of everything. Then everything becomes possible. We're freedom from all of the details and the minutia. And so there is one tool that we can use to implement this principle, and that is to take a stand. Well, what do we mean by a stand? A stand is an unwavering commitment to presenting and promoting that which uplifts, evolves, and blesses life for oneself, for others, for our world. An unwavering commitment to presenting and promoting that which uplifts, evolves, and blesses life for oneself, for others, for our world. Mattress Mac took a stand, presented and promoted that which uplifts and blesses for others. Now, last week I also talked about the difference between a stand and what I called an ego trip. A stand is based on oneness, love, peace, joy, and harmony. An ego trip is based on separation. Separation from God, separation from creation, and separation from others. And it is often accompanied by superiority. Feeling that one group, one nation, one class is above or different than any other. And when these two come together, separation and superiority, it creates an atmosphere of hate and fear, which can create hateful and hurtful beliefs and causes. Now, there have been many examples of this hate and fear throughout our history, many examples of these ego trips. But I think the most recent was in Charlottesville. It was a rearing up of an old hate and discrimination, which I thought was on the scrap heap of history. But there it was, right out in front of us for all to see. Burning crosses. Hate for people whose skin is different. Fear. So this calls for us to take a stand. A united stand, a stand for oneness and love and the sacredness of all life, of all beings. And the hate and the separation and the superiority melt away and are neutralized in the presence of a greater love, the love of God. And we are all called to make that stand. Last week I talked about three essential components to a stand: connecting, trusting, and serving. And so last week I talked about the first of those, which was connecting. I talked about connecting with oneness, connecting with that awareness that we are all one. We are all one, regardless of our economic condition, regardless of our economic status, the color of our skin, our heritage, anything, none of that matters, because at the essence, we are all one, connecting with our oneness, connecting with our feelings. It's so easy to be numbed in this world. Oh, it's another shooting in Mountain View. Oh yeah, another riot in LA. Oh, look at that, another bombing in the Middle East. Another flood in Texas, another drought in Texas, another heat wave here. We become numb, and we become numb to our feelings. We become numb to the compassion that we have for one another as human beings. So I invite us, by stepping into taking a stand, we can once again connect with those feelings. And we do so with our heart. We connect with our heart. And so today I'm going to talk about trusting and serving. Trusting. The only way that darkness can prevail is if we neglect to shine our light. Again, the only way for darkness to prevail is if we refuse to shine our light. We neglect to shine our light. And so this morning I have asked Mallory to come up and read a poem. Mallory.
Thank you. This is a poem by Mary Oliver, and it's titled The Journey. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt that old tug at your ankles, "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones, but little by little, as you left their voices behind. The stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own. And it kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. Thank you.
And now you know why I had her read it. One day when you finally knew what you had to do, that's the day that you took the stand. And the only life that you could save is your own. And the way you do that is by trusting your stand. In our sacred reading this morning, that's awesome. What am I here for? And where am I placing my attention? When our attention is focused on what we are for, there's no room for what we are against. We trust our stand. Sometimes that can be very, very difficult. Sometimes we don't know how to go forward. We don't know where our stand is taking us. It can be a rocky road. But we just keep in alignment with our stand. There's a young performer named Justin Timberlake. He started out in a church choir, by the way. Plenty of room. When he was a young man, he tried out for a talent show, a talent contest. It's called Star Search, and it was in Florida. I think it was Orlando. And he and his mom drove all the way, I think it was Ohio, Iowa. They drove there to compete in that, and he competed, and he won the first round, and you know, he was doing good, and he made it through the second round, and he was doing good, and he got to the finals, and a young girl beat him out. And so with his tail between his legs, he and his mom headed back, and they made it as far as Georgia. They spent the night, and he happened to be watching on television, and there was another talent search contest kind of thing going on, and he convinced mom. They turned around, they drove back to Orlando, and he competed in that, and he was actually selected. And now we're going to have a little test to see who's old enough. What is the MMC? Yes, the Mickey Mouse Club. And he was actually selected for the Mickey Mouse Club. The show only lasted 2 years. But in that, he really made his name. And then it was after that that he started NSYNC. He joined NSYNC, became very, very famous, was making a lot of money, was doing anything. But he realized that he was no longer in alignment with his dream. He was no longer in alignment with his stand. And in that, and he left NSYNC. And people thought that he was crazy. People thought, I mean, you're famous, you're making money, you're doing everything, anything you ever wanted to be. And yet it wasn't in alignment. And he returned to that. And when we stay in alignment with our task, when we stay in alignment with the stand, the ways and means and recovery from setbacks will be provided. Ernest Holmes wrote, "To desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. When things look worst, that is the supreme moment to demonstrate to ourselves that there are no obstructions to the operation of truth." To desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove that we do not know the truth. Sometimes we feel little and alone. When you are feeling naked and exposed, sometimes the best thing you can do is put on your hat and your boots and go for it. Oh, When you are feeling naked and exposed, sometimes the best thing you can do is to put on your hat and your boots and just go for it. You have to step into the arena. You can't do it from the sidelines. You can't do it from the bleachers. The last point, the last component is serving. And speaking of serving, there was a guy named Nelson Mandela who served 26 years at hard labor in prison. And during those 26 years, he went through a series of transformations. He outlined these in his book. And he found himself that he could authentically declare. And this unfolding, is this is the way it went. When he first went in, he doubted his stand. He doubted his vision. And what he was saying, what he was authentically declaring is, this is not going to happen. This vision, this stand is not going to happen. But after a while, he came to an awareness that, well, maybe this could happen. And he declared, this could happen. And after some more time went by, he became more positive. And he said, this will happen. This will happen. And finally, he was able to declare, this is happening now, and I have seen beyond these walls. This is happening now. His stand, his vision of a country without apartheid. We stand for spiritual principle. Last week I talked about these three components. Now I'm going to go over them again, only from the lens of spiritual principle. The first is interspiritual engagement, building bridges between religions instead of walls. In Houston, the Islamic mosques opened their doors to the people who had lost their homes in the flood. The reason that we had Islam for our faith today is to go over the five pillars. And if you remember, the fifth pillar is to take a Hajj or a pilgrimage. This is the weekend when Muslims all over the world celebrate the beginning of their Hajj, their pilgrimage. Having taken a pilgrimage, I know something of it. So this is a very holy time for them. This is a very special time for them. And yet their mosques are filled with guests. Guests that they declared to be VIP guests. And when asked about, what are you going to do? You've got all these people, and yet this is your big high holy time. And one of the leaders of the Islamic community, this is what he said. We will pray in the parking lot if we have to, but these refugees are not going to be forced to leave. Interspiritual engagement. Secondly, environmental stewardship. We tend to think, oh, well, I can't do anything about it. All the pollution in the world and all of the things that are wrong. What can little old me do? You, little old you, can do so much. We live in a state where we're blessed with water. We have a lot of really, really good water. That isn't worldwide. All that water isn't available worldwide. But we can save water here. Each one of us can use less water. That doesn't mean that we have to go without drinking water, but it means we can stop wasting water. On my pilgrimage through Spain, I learned to take a Spanish shower. And they have plenty of water, but a Spanish shower is really kind of cool. Well, it's really, really cold, actually. But they all have the little handheld deals. And the first thing you do is knock off the big chunks You know, you turn it on and you wet everything. Then you turn the water off. And then you soap all up, you get everything clean. And then you turn the water, usually cold, back on and rinse and wash the soap off. You use a fraction of the amount of water that we do in the United States. And having it be really cold, I think, shortens that time as well. But recycling. Oh, Denise is going to get mad at me. Denise has been heading our recycling efforts for a long time. Denise was recycling before it became popular, before there were a lot of recycle places to dig. She used to find, I don't know where she took it, what she did, but Denise has been our recycling champion, and we can follow her. She took a stand for the environment, for our world, and she's been with it for a long time. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Denise.
And finally, nonviolence. Two men come to my mind, Gandhi and Martin Luther King, as leaders in change without violence. We don't have to arm ourselves with shields. We don't have to come in ready for combat. Because when we come in armed with that love, the very love of God, is when that fear, that bigotry, the superiority melts in the face of a greater love. And that's the love of God. The takeaway for today. I've got another quote for a conclusion and a takeaway. This is from Edward Everett Hale. He wrote, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." Let us pray. I invite my colleagues, the prayer practitioners, to join me in simply holding our congregation in love and light. Simply knowing and recognizing that there is indeed a power in the universe, one power, one presence, one life. That life is my life. That life is your life. That life is the life of God. And that life is perfect. Perfect in every way. And so I speak my word now for each and every person who is feeling that separation, who is feeling apart from any other human being or any other condition. We know that behind the appearance of separation, there is oneness. And it is that oneness that I call forth for anyone who is feeling separate, anyone who is feeling less than. Remember, the divine creative force of the universe is on your team. And all you have to do is put them into the game. And I speak my word now for anyone who is feeling lack and limitation, not enoughness, more month than there is check. But just know that we live in an abundant universe, and in a universe that is so abundant we can't begin to count the grains of sand on a beach. We can't count the number of stars in the heaven. And we know that we are sourced by God. We just open up and allow that divine current to flow to us. And lastly, I speak my word for anyone who is experiencing dis-ease, the appearance of something in our body temple that is less than. We just know that we are comforted, we are guided, and we are supported by that divine creative force. And as we go through this thing called life, that infinite intelligence that is God is with us at every moment. And that behind the appearance of disease, there is a blueprint deep within our DNA, deep within the cells, deep within the very atoms of our bodies that is perfect. And it is that blueprint of perfection that I call forth. And so now we just give thanks. We give thanks for our awareness of the power and the presence of God in our lives. And I just release these words to the working of a law which always responds yes. And so it is.